Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
As Russia widens its attacks on Ukrainian cities, there's news that thousands of Russians are fleeing their country amid the war. A Russian-American from Massachusetts who once ran for Worcester City Council is in a unique position to provide insight on what's happening in Russia. Yakov Konrad and his family immigrated to Europe as refugees from the Soviet Union in 1988 and then applied for asylum and came to the U.S. the following year. He currently lives in Florence, Massachusetts. On February 24th, the day Russia invaded Ukraine, Yakov was flying to Russia to take care of his sick grandmother. He was supposed to leave a week ago, but stayed to take care of her and see if he can get her out of the country. Yakov joins us now from Moscow. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Rupa. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Where are you right now? And can you tell us a little bit about the mood? And is it safe for you to be talking to us?
I'm in Moscow, Russia right now at the apartment I grew up in, the apartment we left in 1988, as you mentioned. For a lot of people in Moscow, the mood is still we're being taken care of by, you know, a strong leader who has our best interests in heart, and we just have to trust him. But in a lot of private spaces, the mood is one of terror and fear. Half the people we know have either left Russia or are thinking about leaving Russia. You know, 15,000 people arrested. People are afraid to lose their life savings and everything they've worked for. I don't think it's safe for anyone in Russia right now who is willing to speak the truth. But I'm risking a lot less than a lot of other people.
What do the Russians you talk to know about what's happening, and how are they reacting to it?
That really depends who you ask and what kind of access to Western information and connections they have. When I talk to other Russians, such as friends from the village where I spent my childhood, they have a very different perspective. They kind of take this line where they say, well, you don't really know who to trust. Every side has propaganda. So we believe that, you know, we just have to trust that things will work out. But the people sitting in our kitchen and living room, you know, they're talking about how to get their families to safety. They're talking about how we survive as a nation, how we as a Russian group of people ever get past what was done in our names, and how we rebuild and how we move forward when this is hopefully over.
What about the Western companies that are closing operations in Russia? Are people aware of that? And if so, how are they reacting to it?
Sanctions are working, but not in the way I think people in the West and America think. They're not working in the sense that, you know, the economy has collapsed. What the actual sanctions are doing is it's forcing a conversation in every family in Russia about what's happening. They don't have access to real news from Ukraine unless they know how to get that information, you know, with VPNs and foreign media. But they do see McDonald's closing. They do see Starbucks closing. They do see the cars doubling in price overnight because no more will be delivered. And this is forcing a national conversation. We're slowly seeing the narrative deteriorate as people realize that there's no way the whole world hates all Russians. So the sanctions are working by forcing that conversation in every single household in Russia. And that's critical right now because it forces people to pay attention.
I'm so sorry about your grandmother. How's she doing?
We're working very hard with her to build her moral and physical strength, but some of her medicines are getting harder to find, and we're having a lot of difficulty arranging travel. Waiting lines for family reunification for the U.S. are years. They're not doing emergency visas. The Moscow consulate is closed, and we can't get any other consulate to consider a visa. So even if she's ready to travel physically, we're not sure if we'll be able to bring her to Europe or to America, but she's strong. She survived a lot in her life. She spent her life, you know, and with her husband, my grandfather, you know, working on human rights. And she took care of the family when he was exiled to Siberia and serving time in the gulags, the Russian labor camps. And she's a very strong woman. But most of her family at this point is in Europe and America. And, you know, we're just we and she. She's just really worried she won't get to see them.
What if you can't take her to Europe or the U.S.? Will you stay there?
For now, yes, because my sister and brother-in-law are, you know, have been very vocal for many years about human rights and, you know, involved with the Memorial Human Rights Organization. And if the repressions in Russia get worse and something happens to them, then my grandmother would be left with no one to care for. So I can't in all good conscience leave until I can leave with her.
You mentioned that you fled, your family fled because of the Soviet Union. How does it feel to be in a similar place now?
This is probably the most painful part about all of this. This is this crazy deja vu where 33 years ago we left fearing, you know, for our lives to get away from political persecution. And my parents brought me and three of my siblings to America for a better life. Three of my older siblings stayed behind. And we all thought that, you know, all of these sacrifices, all of this work finally meant, you know, modern free Russia that's part of the world. And we could just travel freely back and forth. And to find ourselves 33 years later, sitting in this, you know, same apartment, having the same conversation about getting our family to safety, leaving the country where we were born, leaving the country that we're proud to call home. I never thought we would be in the same situation again.
Thank you very much for talking with us, Yakov. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rupa. Thank you so much for taking the time and listening.
Yakov Conrad lives in Florence, Massachusetts. He spoke to us from Moscow.